Think about the word consider and what it means. When you consider something, you're going to take and put some thought in it, right? For instance, maybe someone might offer you a job, say, a job. You will consider the benefits of that job. You will take thought of, you know, maybe the amount of money they pay, or maybe the benefits. Sometimes some jobs have real good benefits, even though the pay may not be that good. And so you weigh things out. And this word, consider God, it came from Psalms 8. Verses 3 and 4. So somebody get that and read that scripture.
When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?
So you see what he said, when I consider. Other words, I'm thinking, I'm looking into the heavens. When we just look at the heavens, we see something vast and amazing. And the moon and the stars, and we consider God. He said, when I consider thy heavens. Talking about God. We want to consider God. We want to take thought in it. And this could go in so many ways, because we could take time and muse and think on God. Take time from our busy schedule, the things that we love to do or whatever. And let's think about God. And what are we going to think about him? Why should we consider him? He made us. He made us. He made the world. He made everything that's therein is. You know, man makes many inventions, but you know, God made the groundwork, so to speak. Other words, they have to have something to do their inventions on. God is the creator. Without him, they could not do it. Without him, we could not breathe or even use our mind or any of those things. So that's why we need to consider God. 2 years, for 2 years, the Lord gave me a thought for the children. It was God Almighty. The first year, God Almighty, and then the second year was God Almighty, the God of love. And in those vacation Bible school themes, we helped the children to think about God, what God does for us, and that God is the living God. You know, people have, in some countries, they worship idols. They've made these gods. They're the work of some man's hands. But God was always there. He is eternal. Always was and always will be. And so when we think of how great God is, we need to think of him daily. We don't need to just walk around and act like he doesn't exist. And I think today many people are trying to forget God. They put him on the back burner. They don't really reverence him like they should. They put him out of his life, their lives. But you know, God is still merciful even to those people that forget him. He still reaches out to them. He's still wooing after them. He still does things. One scripture says he lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust. Even if they reject him or don't have any thought of him, he's still taking care of them. And when they wake up in the morning, all of us, God took care of us. He opened our eyes. The alarm clock wasn't what woke us up. It was God. Because the alarm clock could have gone off and we could have been laying still in death and no response to it. So you see how important it is for us to consider God. And we need to consider him in all the things we do. Not just we want to take time to think about him, but we want to also recognize what pleases him, don't we? That's the most important way we can consider him, is recognize what he wants us to do and do it, or recognize what he doesn't want us to do and abstain from that. Let's go to Psalms 100 and read the third verse.
Psalms 103. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
See? When we consider him, we're going to realize that all that we have is from God. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have it. If you have a beautiful voice, Sarah, it comes from God, doesn't it? It doesn't come from ourselves. If you have the ability to do whatever, so there are many gifts we can have. Somebody is good at cooking. She loves to cook, loves to get food tasty. But that gift comes from God. You have to realize it's not you. It is God. And so for that reason, what should we do? We should honor him. We should praise him. We should adore him. That's what we should do, and we should live for him. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy 6 and 17. When we consider God, we're going to first give our hearts to God, right? We're going to live for him. We're going to recognize that we owe him. Do you know? Sometimes people do things just because they owe somebody. And if we don't have any other reason to consider God, we should realize that we owe him for his mercy and what he's given us. You got it?
Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy.
Yeah, even the rich people, they should realize that God gave them the riches. Some people think I climbed up by my own bootstraps or something. It used to be a saying. I got here through my own hard work. You might have, but guess what? God did it. He gave you the strength, or you would not be able to do it. He gave you the mind, the abilities. All of this comes from God. Let's go to 1 Peter 1 and 3. I don't think we'll be up here very long, but if you don't get anything out of this message today, I want you to be able to turn your hearts and your minds to God and recognize that he's worthy of us, our praise. He's worthy of us serving him. He's worthy of our recognizing what he has done for us.
1 Peter 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lovely hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead.
A lively hope. He has given us this. We have hope in this world because of God and because of Jesus, whom he sent to die for our sins. He's provided everything, like that scripture says, he's provided everything for us to enjoy. And he's also provided us eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. We have a God that cares so much for us, he made a way that we don't perish. Do you know without Jesus, we will perish. Without him, we will go to hell. But he provided a plan that we don't have to go to hell, that we can repent of our sins and live for him and live eternally. Life is too short to forget God. It's too short. We need to consider him and think of him and live for him and trust in him. Not in our own selves, not in our abilities, not in the things that we think we know, but in the living God. Well, he's given us forgiveness for sins. And let's go to Colossians 1, 9 to 14.
Colossians 1 and 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood,
yes,
even the forgiveness of sins.
Do you see why? If we didn't think of any other reason to consider God and to keep him in our knowledge and to think on him and to follow him, we have this one thing that he allowed, gave us forgiveness of sin. When we come to God, one person that I was working with, they were having a hard time when it comes to praying about their situation. But the scripture says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When we come to God with all our heart, he will forgive our sin. And we have it's a privilege to have those sins taken away from. You know, when you are sinning and doing the wrong thing, it's a heavy weight on your shoulder. May not think so, but it is. But I tell you, when you come to God and you repent, he lifts that heavy weight and you light and free. So we have this as our reason, if no other reason, because he forgives our sins. And when he forgives them, I'll just say this, that when he forgives our sin, he sends them as far as the east is from the west. And he remembers them against us no more. You know, sometimes people will, you tell them, I'm sorry. They say, oh, you did such and such. And you might say, I'm sorry. And then you do something something again. For instance, you might say, you know, loan me $100. And then it comes to a time when you get ready to pay them, you can't pay it, and you say, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't pay that. They might say, yeah, I didn't think you would, because this happened before. But God doesn't do it that way. If you come back to him, maybe you repented and you ask God to forgive you and he forgave you. If you make a mistake or something later on, he's not going to go back and remind you, you did that the last time. No, but he will forgive. So we have the forgiveness of sin is one of the reasons we should consider God. Now, I was thinking how that in this life, when we consider God and we keep him in our knowledge and we do the things that he wants us to do, he's very pleased with us. But do you know God is so merciful and so long-suffering, he will deal with us time and time again. He doesn't want us to go get forgiveness for sin, then sin again, and then get forgiveness. He doesn't want us to do that. But if it happens that we sin and then we do it again, we can still go to him and ask his forgiveness. However, there are consequences. If you just reject God and don't continue to keep your mind on him and do the right thing, it's a penalty. You're going to have to pay in the long run. We don't want that to happen to us. So let us make sure that we keep our thoughts and our minds on God. Not just thinking, but thinking to the extent that we do what he tells us to do. I want us now to go to Psalms 107 and 1. Because I want us to look at how God is merciful. And in this Psalms, it just tells of different ways that God has been merciful to men. We're going to read quite a few verses of this from 1 to 21.
Psalms 107 and 1.
Yeah.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfied the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness.
Okay, so, can you just stop just a minute? You see how it said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In the other scripture we read, it said he gave us redemption. Redemption, he brought us back into favor with him. When we go into sin, he's not pleased with us. But when we ask forgiveness and he forgives us for our sin, then we are redeemed back to God. And now he's happy with us. Okay, so he said, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And you know the devil is the enemy. And gather them out of the lands from east and west and north, all different places. Then they get hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainteth in them. But what happens? when they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Sometimes people will not listen to God until they get in trouble. Sometimes they won't listen to him until trouble comes. They know what's right. It says, but then they cried unto the Lord. He's such a merciful God that even if they didn't listen, he didn't, you know, sometimes your parents, I've been guilty of that. The child, you tell them not to do something, and they do it anyway. You might say, see, if you'd listen to me, it wouldn't have happened. You see? But God says, he didn't do that. He had mercy on them, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Okay, so let's read on. Let's see some more things that people get into. Verse 10.
Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses.
Okay. Rebellious. Sometimes people are just flat rebellious. The Lord says don't do, and they do it anyway. But then when they cried unto the Lord, they get into trouble. They cried unto the Lord, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Remember the story of the prodigal son in the Bible. Here, this young man was all, I guess, everything was looking bright and cheery for him. And he asked his dad, he said, give me the portion of goods that belonged to me. He wanted his inheritance, so his dad gave it to him. He went out and he squandered it. He just had parties, no doubt, and just had a good time and ended up broke. And then when he was broke, then nobody would help him. He got hungry, and all his friends were gone, and that's what happened. And then what did he do? He ended up in the pig pen. And he wanted, he was to feed the pigs, but he was so hungry, he was eating some of the pig feet food. According to the scripture, it said he fain would fill his belly. So it sounded like he ate a little of it, some of it. And then he woke up and he thought about it. How many of my dad's servants have food enough in their spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise. I will go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee and against heaven, and no more worthy to be your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. This parable or story in the Bible is just like what God does. People, when everything's going good, they're going their way, doing their own thing. And then when things get bad, they turn to the Lord. But the Lord is merciful. So this is what they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he saved them out of all the distresses. Read on.
He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he had broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquity, are afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men.
So So you see, this is why we need to consider God. God is merciful. He's long-suffering. Over and over, I believe, honestly, the reason the world is still going on today is because of God's long-suffering and his mercy. I believe it's been enough stuff done that God could just have just decided he would just give up. But he's reaching out. He's hoping to get more people to give their heart to. He cares about his creation so much that he's willing to bear with them. But there comes a time when his wrath is going to pour out upon this world and on people that do not consider him. And I want to read the last scripture is in Romans 1. We're going to start at 18th verse. And we'll go to 26, I believe it is. 28. Chapter 1, starting at the 18th verse. If we choose not to consider him, if we choose not to keep him in our minds and in our thoughts and recognize him as God Almighty, we will have to reap the consequences.
Romans 1 and
18.
18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
Stop. Just remember, we're going to stop. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. What that means is they know the truth. They know it, but they're not doing it. It is a serious thing to know the truth and not do it. Read on.
Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Okay. When you know God made the world. You know he made us. You know all the things he told delivered unto us that we should do righteous living. Righteousness is doing the right thing according to the scriptures. If we know all these things, he makes it clear in our heart, we are responsible for those things. Read on.
Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things.
Stop just a minute. You see, in this, these people not only they changed the living God and they made idols. That's what these are, idols. And God is not pleased with this. Making a bird as a something to worship or a creeping thing or image of a person. All of that God is not pleased with. Because he wants us to recognize him as Almighty God, the living God. And none of this is God. We cannot worship any kind of image that we created as God and be pleased with the God of heaven. and we don't.
Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
Read on.
For God gave them up unto vile affections, and even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
Read on.
And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat.
You see, the thing is, men with men. God did not design for a man to be with a man like he's a woman, or a woman with another woman. This is abomination in the sight of God. He gave them up. When God backs off from you and give you over to these things, it is serious. It is the anger of God upon you. Let's read on.
And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
We don't even, God doesn't want us to do any of these wrong things. And not only us doing the wrong things, but having pleasure in other people that do it. So we want to make sure that we keep our minds on God, that we reverence Him, that we honor Him, that we respect Him, and we consider Him. Here, and it says that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And He gives up. Finally, after all dealings, and He give up is a very bad state, and we don't want to be there. So let's make sure that we consider God and all that He stands for and all that He wants us to do or not to do. Pray for me.